Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle is with me, and we're back to podcasting, Kyle, because the season is over, and that means something changed. Some sort of Bears thing is different. The games were not different there for a while, and folks, as we threatened, if those games don't change, we aren't just going to come out here and repeat the same thing for 6 or 7 weeks in a row. And right up until that last game, we really, honestly, even the last game, we got the win against Green Bay. I don't know what I would say that was different from the previous six,
quite frankly. They played a little bit of defense. They managed to injure a couple key Packers players. No, I mean, so I've been on Twitter, or had been on, I haven't been on Twitter for the last couple of months, which if you've noticed my absence and you miss me, I'm sorry, but it's been good for me. But I have had a Twitter account since 2009, and after all these years, I'm still only at like 1,700 followers or something, and I have had a lot of people be like, how do you know so-and-so and so-and-so and all these people, and you've been on Twitter all this long, and you do this, but you really don't have that many followers? And it's because the thing is, folks, Start Kyle Orton, it's not about a brand. It's not about churning content. It's about two dumb assholes who are just fans, like you guys, who rage and give up on the fucking Bears frequently and call Bears fans fucking morons and the Bears fucking morons. And, like, I wasn't gonna fucking log on here in the middle of the goddamn holiday season, the joyous time of the year, and fucking talk about the Seahawks game or the 49ers game, because what the fuck were we going to say that wasn't already present all season long? The play calling is uninspired. Oh shit. No surprise. Caleb Williams is holding the ball a little too long sometimes. Really? Big shocker. The offensive line's not up to the task. I'm stunned. Like, I'm not going to get an hour out of that every week, and I'm not going to record just to record. Now, I did want to hop on the pod to talk about the season being over and the Bears finally beating Green Bay and Caleb Williams, you know, having a 50% success rate in game-winning drives against the Packers, despite the fact that it should be 100% so far. But
I was going to say, 100% success rate for Caleb, 50% win rate, weirdly.
For Cairo Santos, yeah. And then last week I was hospitalized with food poisoning. So that's what the Bears are – that's the capper on the Bears season. I was going to record a podcast, a Scottcast, to celebrate a Bears win over their biggest rival, their first in 6 years. And instead, folks, I was in the ER throwing up my left lung. So that's a sign, isn't it, Travis? Is that a sign? It feels like a sign.
It's definitely indicative of the entire Bears season, right? And I mean, the season had been over for at least 7 weeks at that point, you know, and I mean, it wasn't just that it wasn't like an inspiring thing to talk about. Obviously, eating a bunch of losses isn't all that fun to talk about, I guess, just in general. But, you know, if they had done it in a different way, if there were like development of some players or like a de-evolution of some players or like just any kind of change at all, like we would have been on here, we would have been talking about, you know, just week after week, we would talk about the Bears game with each other. And it felt like we had less to say every week.
It was a fucking baton death march. And even, you know, and some people really managed to find, you know, some people are like, well, Caleb's still doing cool stuff. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think folks do need to step back and take the long view of the season that Caleb Williams had. Of course, it was a disappointment based on the expectations we all had going in. And he was personally disappointing to me in a few extent. I thought he would be better at mitigating sacks than he was, although I was one of the first people to say last year that, like, the time to throw that he had in college historically translates to a guy who will eat a shit ton of sacks early in his career. And I say early in his career because I do think that that is something he potentially can improve on, that we saw Justin Fields, you know, for example, struggle with. Because I don't think with Caleb it's a processing error. I don't think it's that he doesn't know what he's seeing. It's the arrogance. It's the adapting to the NFL play style. It's adapting to NFL windows and timing. No, but I think it. You can already say at this point in his career, I don't think this is ever going to be a guy for whom sack avoidance is going to be a plus. It's clear that I think he's going to take an above average amount of sacks most of the years of his career. But so did Aaron Rodgers, and that was the guy that I comped him to coming out. That's the guy that I still think when it all clicks, that is the ceiling. Kyler Murray took a lot more sacks early in his career than he has since. That's another scenario for Caleb. But also Russell Wilson and the way that he has always taken an excessive amount of sacks, but not to the extent that it cancels out all the good things that he can do. And I think Caleb showed enough of all of the good things that he can do in just god-awful circumstances that, like, I can't sit here and tell you that I'm 100% confident Caleb Williams is going to be great. I think there's every reason to be hopeful that he can be. I saw nothing to dissuade me from the idea that he can be. The case is still open, but I'm expecting good things from him in year two. And I think more of what held him back was the stuff around him than him personally, without absolving him of the stuff that is his responsibility, which again comes right down to the sack shit. He's got to learn how to mitigate that. You can't take sacks on 11% of your dropbacks and not eat some of the shit for that. Not all of it, not even most of it, I would say, but he's got to eat some shit for that. We can't rightly say how much of this was Justin Fields' fault when he was taking these sacks and then absolve Caleb. I'm not going to do that. But I have hope that it is more correctable for him, and that the other things that he can do will take big leaps in year two, as they historically do for guys like him.
Yeah, I mean, the best Bears rookie season by far, like by very, very far, which sadly isn't saying much, but
yeah, I don't know that. If I have any hope for Caleb, it's that by the end of next year, we're comparing him to like other franchises, good quarterbacks. And we're not just saying, well, he's better than the slop that we usually eat in Chicago.
I think he played very well. Obviously he did a fantastic job of avoiding turnovers, which is great. That's something we're not used to out here. I think he still managed to throw in a lot of explosive plays in there, despite the turnover avoidance right up until, the very tail end of the season. And I think a lot of it comes down to just what the fuck was this offense this season? Yeah. I'm sure we got plenty of time to do like some individual moratoriums, but just the absolute mess of this offense, the Shane Waldron experience. And then we had the kind of dead cat bounce when Thomas Brown simplified everything. And then
they made him.
What usually happens, people adjusted to it and he got taken out of the booth. We mentioned on our last episode, Thomas Brown said immediately that he wants to coach from the booth. He felt like he had an advantage in the booth and he just didn't see things well from the sideline. So we immediately put him on the sideline.
I mean, we both talked about how it was the worst possible idea to make Thomas Brown the interim head coach, but it's again, a sign of an organization that consistently fails to identify what their number one priority should always be. And then respond accordingly. This whole season should have been about Caleb Williams' development, everything else be damned. And if that meant that you made Matt Eberflus lose some of his toys on defense so that you could bolster up the offensive line, that's what you should have fucking done. But they tried to have their cake and eat it too. This was another season where they took a lame duck head coach who needed badly to make the playoffs to keep his job, and then also tasked him with developing a quarterback. And the only, we've seen this multiple times, and the only formula that you will ever see come from that is a head coach, especially when you have a defensive head coach who's going to say, well, my best way to win games and while starting this rookie quarterback is to ask the rookie quarterback not to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then you see everything that went wrong with Caleb's season and the ticks he did develop stem from that central area of you could see him second guess himself. And we saw that with Justin last year, You know, it was ingrained in these guys. When you tell a quarterback that he can't win you games, the only thing he can do is lose you games. You will get a quarterback who plays like that. So, and now here we are, we're in this coaching search. It's really hard to tell what exactly they're doing in this coaching search and to filter the wheat from the chaff, because they are fucking interviewing everyone under the sun. My dad messaged me today to say that they interviewed Ron Rivera. Is that actually, I didn't even look to see if that was accurate or if it was just my dad falling
that
something
is,
on the internet.
Kyle, that is 100% true.
They
gave Ron Rivera a call. It would actually
They called him? They called him.
From what I understand.
Jesus.
Let me check out the specifics of this. I was having a field day in another chat that I've got about the Ron Rivera call. Because it just, like, when is the first time we heard that the Bears wanted Ron Rivera as head coach? It's been like 13 years, right?
And it's funny because in hindsight, if the Bears were ever going to make Ron Rivera their head coach, they actually should have done it by having him replace Lovie, I think, right after that Super Bowl, instead of letting Lovie win that power contest. But it sure as shit isn't in 2024. I mean, good Lord, look at the difference between what Ron Rivera and Dan Quinn did in Washington with rosters that aren't that talented. Obviously, you know, and Dan Quinn, that was a coaching high, and that is something that I want to talk about with this coaching search, because, you know, I don't want the Bears to fucking hire Mike McCarthy. I don't want that to happen. I'm scared it's going to happen, but I'm almost unwilling to trust my gut on how much I don't want the Mike McCarthy thing to happen, because here's the thing. Mike McCarthy somehow got 3 12 win seasons out of the Cowboys. I think they had only had 3 12 win seasons total since the Aikman era, before Mike McCarthy. He managed to do that. And so as much of a doofus as he seems to be, and as much as there is this perception of him around, you know, the smart side of the football internet, that I'm part of, that this is something I agree with, where it's like, God, he looks like a doofus out there, and he always seems to fuck it up in key moments. There is something to this guy that he consistently wins, that he's consistently competent, at least in the regular season. And I wonder if I have underrated that, because that was, you know, I didn't want Dan Quinn when the Bears were interviewing him, when it was him versus Eberflus in 2022. I wasn't impressed with the Commanders hiring Dan Quinn, but there is, and schematically, I'm still not impressed with what Dan Quinn's genius, but God, you have to look at the effort and the performances that he gets and the success that he gets out of his assistants. And you have to be like, Dan Quinn must just actually be good at the whole fucking coaching thing, right? That has to matter.
Something. You could say that about, like, John Fox too, before he was Bears head coach, though.
Right, and that's that is the danger of it. Yeah, that's the danger of it, because at some point, those guys are competent until they are not. John Fox was that guy until, you know, he wasn't. Ron Rivera was that guy until he wasn't. So, you know, I think I have probably underrated Mike McCarthy to this point in his career. But then if the Bears are his third franchise, you just know they are the team that's left holding the bag when this guy's, you know, mumbo jumbo stops working for good, you know?
It's so hilarious that the Bears would request to interview McCarthy while he was still with the Cowboys, presuming they maybe didn't want him anymore, literally going after a coach that another team is like, kind of fuck this guy. And then they got declined, which you thought meant, like, of course the Cowboys are going to retain McCarthy. That's why they didn't want the Bears to talk to him. And then they just shit can him. They're like, no, we don't want this guy. And now would be the Bears' moment to be like, well, now that he's truly cast off, of course, that's the guy.
Yeah. It was just one of those things where, and I will say, having seen what happened with the Jets, I think willing to ascribe more of the malaise of the end of the Rodgers-McCarthy era in Green Bay to Rodgers than we initially thought. I think it's fair to say that Aaron Rodgers is, in fact, a cancer that takes down everyone around him and causes just organizational dysfunction at every level. So maybe Mike McCarthy did the best he could to hold that shit together for a while. And obviously so did Matt LaFleur, who's obviously a phenomenal coach. But yeah, that is, and that, so again, I'm kind of rambling here, but I am not endorsing the Bears hiring Mike McCarthy. I am just saying that, I mean, Jaden Daniels just won a fucking playoff game here, folks. So I'm looking deep in the mirror. I'm looking hard at old Uncle Kyle on a lot of levels, and how I am full of shit. So, you know, the Bears hiring Mike McCarthy feels like the Commanders hiring Dan Quinn last year, where I laugh at it. And then it's like, oh, maybe there is just something to these guys who have been around for a while and just keep churning out 10 win seasons for NFL franchises. Maybe there is more magic to it. Maybe I overrate the X's and O's and the schematic creativity part of it, and maybe there is just something to just being a coach. I don't know, but yeah, the obvious answer here, we both know it and we've said it a million times, is Ben Johnson should be the next Bears head coach. I think we're all afraid of, and I think based on rumors it seems mostly like the Bears know that, but we're all afraid this is going to come down to who's willing to cut the guy the biggest check. And that's where we know our Chicago Bears will always disappoint.
Yes. Yeah, I think we had, obviously we're recording this after one of the Bears' prime candidates has already come off the board. I think for the last, 6 to 8 weeks, we've known that the Bears had kind of a tier one of candidates and then a tier one, 1A of candidates. That first tier was Vrabel and Ben Johnson. And then that second tier seemed to be Flores and I want to say Brady for a little while. That seems to have changed later on in the process to Monken, which I don't necessarily mind, although I'm not super confident in his ability as head coach.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Monken was a guy that I had said earlier, very early in the year, was a good dude that interested me in that second tier. I said, I think I said Joe Brady, Todd Monken, and Liam Cohen, who I'm very surprised the Bears haven't even asked to interview. Those three were my tier two after Ben Johnson.
I think I fully respect that somehow out of these pile of motherfuckers, they've chosen not to interview Cohen because he feels like the biggest gamble there. And I feel like the Bears just aren't in gambling mode right now.
Well, I wonder if the other thing, too, is that Liam Cohen was Shane Waldron's quarterback coach in Seattle. So I wonder if they are just not interested in, wasn't he? Yeah, it was. No, Liam Cohen wasn't. I'm thinking of Dave Canales. My bad. I'm an idiot. Fuck me.
Thinking of Ethan Cohen and Joel Cohen, the Cohen brothers.
The Cohen brothers. Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that seems like what it was when Vrabel came.
And I hope the Bears tell Ron Rivera that sadly this is no country for old men when it comes to head coaching job. Am I right?
Well done.
That was the best film of 2007, folks.
Well done, Kyle. But yeah, when Vrabel came off the board, in one sense that felt good because word out of that interview was that George essentially fell in love with Mike Vrabel and wanted to make love to him on the spot. So him going to New England in one sense was very good because that meant the Bears could focus on the candidate that you and I both prefer, right? Unfortunately, there's every chance in the world that Ben Johnson just says, no, fuck you, I don't want to go to the Bears. And, you know, we were talking about this. The threat here is the cons. It's Shad Khan coming in and just saying, you know, we just want you. We want you, and we're going to get you. Here's, you know, 10 years, $100 million fully guaranteed or something like that. Just something George can't get close to, can't even sniff. And that'll be that. And then what are you left with, right? Suddenly the Bears are down to that second tier of candidates, and that's when they start looking at all the weird ones, right? And that's why we've got Riverboat Ron in here. They're going to talk to Marcus Freeman. They're going to talk to the janitor down the hallway. They're going to talk to the entire state of Arizona. Like, I do not know what the Bears are doing interviewing this many candidates, but my fear is that they're thinking, well, if we get outbid for Ben Johnson, all bets are off. Because at that point, our two top guys are off the board. So fuck it. We're going to have to pull another rabbit out of the hat here
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned...
It's never worked for the Bears.
I'm glad you mentioned Marcus Freeman. So Marcus Freeman and then Matt Campbell. Now, Matt Campbell, college coach who has been asked to interview for a lot of Bears head coaches jobs. Or a Bears head coach of NFL.
I was going to say, only one Bears head coach's job, but yeah, yeah.
Usually declines the interview. He took the Bears interview, and I have heard he is a guy who does not take an interview unless he truly believes he's got a reasonable shot at the job. So how would you feel about either of those picking from the college ranks and taking either Marcus Freeman or Matt Campbell? Actually, I know I did ask you about Marcus Freeman about a month ago, yeah. And you were quite adamant that he just sucks in every way. You said you didn't think he was a good coach or a good person.
Yeah. I didn't say I didn't think he was a good person. Right. I said I thought he was a wimp.
Right. You were going hard on that loss to Northern Illinois. Have your thoughts on that changed at all now that he's on the cusp of a national title victory?
No. In the same way that my thoughts haven't changed on like hiring Ryan Day. I don't see what he has translating to the NFL. I think what he's got is acceptable as a college head coach. I think like it, you know, if he wants to go coach my college team, I'll take it. I don't think right now is the time to take a swing on a guy that young who essentially is succeeding in college because he is a good college head coach, right?
But I don't want
Campbell for the same reason. Like, there's nothing there from Campbell where I'm like, oh yeah, that dude's really going to succeed in the NFL. Like at that point, I would much rather just like, why don't you hire Pete Carroll if he's interested in the job? Why are we trying to pilfer the college ranks for Marcus Freeman? Like, what's the point there?
Did you consider that? I think the question was Bear.
Hmm? The question I posed to you at the time, which I think is relevant right now, is if we're interested in Marcus Freeman, why don't you just hire Brian Flores? Because that's the dude with all of the positives of that guy, right? But with none of the horrifying potential pitfalls.
Well, I'll answer your. I don't know about that because I mean Brian Flores' most notable accomplishment as an NFL head coach was severely alienating, belittling, and trying to destroy his own highly drafted quarterback.
I think that's
some baggage that he brings that, as far as I know, Marcus Freeman does not. In fact, the ACC's favorite geriatric quarterback every single year wants to transfer to play for Marcus Freeman. It's an annual tradition. So he must be doing something right in luring Blandy McWhite guy to come play under center out of Wake Forest or Duke every year. So,
what exactly about Riley Leonard has you excited for Marcus Freeman as head coach?
Nothing has me excited about Marcus Freeman as a head coach. I was asking you for thoughts on him a change. I do, as just from a scheme perspective, I like a lot of the stuff that Marcus Freeman does schematically on defense. I think that would translate in the NFL. But after 30 years as a Bears fan, do you know how excited I am for a guy who brings leadership and a little bit of oomph schematically on defense?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what I've got for you there. So no, I don't want Marcus Freeman. He is very handsome, though, so we have to wait that. And this is a division with Matt LaFleur where the handsome factor matters. So we could, if we immediately go to the head coach, to the top of the head coach sexy standings, would that get in Matt LaFleur's head? Would he try to up his game a little bit? Would he get distracted?
Matt LaFleur is like office attractive, you know, like you got 20 people in a room. And like he might be the most attractive person in that room, but he's not a knockout by any means. All right, like I feel like we could go out, we can find a more attractive football coach, Kyle. All right, if that's okay. What we're going for, I think we can up that game in the NFL. You know, Flus, he tried, right? He got groomed this offseason. He got the beard all trimmed up. Unfortunately, that did not make him any more intelligent. If anything, it seemed to rob him of all of his mental energy by the end there. but yeah, I think we could get sexier at head coach, Kyle. I like where your head's at.
And then, okay, so you don't feel like Matt Campbell brings anything in particular either.
I watch a lot of Iowa State. I mean, we live in Des Moines. I feel like people know that we're in the Des Moines area, which is like this battleground between the University of Iowa and Iowa State.
Don't fucking dox us to the insane lunatics that listen to this podcast. You don't know where I live, people.
We are in central Iowa somewhere. So I see a lot of Iowa State. I have a lot of relatives who love Iowa State, unfortunately.
You sure do, buddy. You sure do.
And there's just nothing about Matt Campbell that, like, nothing schematically that's interesting. He is the CEO type of head coach, right? He's a management
head coach. With an offensive background. So that would be, I guess, if I had to choose between him or Freeman, like, if you tell me they're hiring a college coach, if I had to choose between him or Freeman, I guess I would take Matt Campbell because he does have that offensive background. And because I guess if you tried, you could maybe give him credit for Brock Purdy. I don't know. Give him a little bit.
Anytime you say Matt Campbell and Brock Purdy in the same sentence, though, I think of the worst interception ever thrown.
God, that was a good one. It really was a good one. I'm scraping for content here. Just like I said at the beginning, I don't really know what to say about this coaching search other than for the love of God. Just do the thing that you should have done a year ago when we were sitting here saying what the obvious path out of the fog was.
This may be cope. All right.
Oh, it's 100% cope. If it's coming from you, it's cope.
Bears fans, humor me here because I think it's time for cope right now. We're going to pre-cope before the Bears do something awful, right? Because we're supposed to be – we win the offseason, all right? Like, let's be hopeful in the offseason, Kyle. I have heard from multiple Bears fans this particular kind of cope, which is that the Bears are only interviewing this many people because Ben Johnson will not announce that he is the next head coach of the Bears if it will distract the Lions from their potential Super Bowl run. So the Bears are essentially throwing chafe out.
I mean,
interviewing everybody, and they've already got the deal in place with Ben, but they are doing him a favor by attempting to like obfuscate that fact.
Yeah, I mean, the most optimistic view is that, yeah, I mean, they haven't announced that someone other than Ben Johnson is the head coach yet, which would make you think if they knew they weren't waiting around for an answer from Ben Johnson, they've probably made a move by now, potentially. So that is the hope.
But yeah, I mean, even
on the other hand,
the words come out of my fucking mouth, it sounds like hope. Yeah, all I can think is, of course we're interested in Mike McCarthy. Of course we're interested in Ron Rivera. The reports that we've heard that ring the most true are the ones where the Bears want a leader of men, right?
Yeah.
Like, they only want a guy who's like, oh, he's a leader. He's going to bring a tough culture to the Bears. He's going to really, you know, bring the guys together and have them fight for him, and which could be good, but it's not going to be in a Dan Campbell kind of way. It's going to be in a fucking Mike McCarthy kind of way, right? It's not even going to be in a Pete Carroll kind of way. Have we even interviewed Pete Carroll? We've interviewed like 27 fucking people. People I've never even heard of. Have we interviewed Pete Carroll? I have no idea.
The Raiders did. Oh, Pete, don't do that. Pete, don't.
Yes. I do think Pete Carroll did get interviewed. Hold up. Let's see. Yes, he made a presentation to the Bears, and apparently the Bears liked it. Okay, so yes, they interviewed Pete Carroll. Of course they did. Who haven't they fucking interviewed?
I'm sure Pete made a very inspiring presentation.
He had a PowerPoint.
Jet fuel, can it melt steel beams? The answer may surprise you.
What is the shape of the earth? In all seriousness, I fucking love Pete Carroll. You know this. He's like,
you do.
You might be my favorite head coach.
You do, yeah.
So I would love that hire if it's not going to be Ben Johnson. I would love it a lot more than any of the other non-Ben Johnson candidates.
Pete Carroll is your... So Pete Carroll's your second choice in all this?
I don't... Who else would be number two? Like, Vrabel was number two. Like, for sure, without a doubt, Mike Vrabel was number two. But he's off the board, so... I'm just thinking, if I'm ranking this in reverse order of how nuclear level pissed I would be about a hire, he's probably number two. He's probably right behind Ben Johnson.
How would you feel if it's Joe Brady?
Optimistic. So I wouldn't be upset about that. I would be optimistic, but I am frightened by the prospect of hiring yet another Bills offensive coordinator, because the last one, though he continues to retain his job somehow, has not been super successful.
I mean, I don't particularly blame Brian Daboll for the Giants.
Well, neither do the Giants for some reason.
Well, I mean, because I think that was... I mean, only...
That's
the people,
thing I want to talk about, the shit that the other people, teams are doing.
Only the people in that Giants front office really know. Because the truth of the matter is that... Whoever should have gotten fired from the Giants this year is whoever actually was the one that was like, you know what, let's sign Daniel Jones to that contract.
Yeah.
If it was Brian Daboll, then obviously he should be gone. I have always heard that Brian Daboll was the one being like, I mean, I'm the one that just had to pare my offense down to the goddamn training wheels offense just to make him look functional. I don't think we should extend him, but I don't know if that's just cope either. So I don't blame Brian Daboll for that if he had that Daniel Jones contract extension foisted upon him. And I also heard he was the one that was extremely aggressive in trying to push for trading up for Drake May last year, which again would show sound judgment on Brian's part. But yeah, no, I don't think Joe Brady has anything to do with Brian Daboll in that respect anyways. I liked his offense at LSU, obviously, which, I mean, granted, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, a lot of guys probably could have made a pretty good-looking offense out of that, but still, schematically, I liked what he did. People are really down on his tenure in Carolina. I actually thought what he managed to get out of Teddy Bridgewater that first year that he was there was pretty impressive. And then I think there's, you know... Matt Rhule sure seems like a guy who had a lot of hands in what was going on the side of the ball, even if he wasn't supposed to, and was quick to scapegoat Joe Brady. So I don't know how much I blame Joe Brady for anything that went wrong in Carolina either. So yeah, Joe Brady's probably one of those hires that I'd be like, yeah, okay, we'll see how that goes. It's definitely not one of the ones where I'm like, you motherfuckers have done it again immediately.
Yeah. Yes,
that's obviously the Ron. That's obviously your Ron Rivera hire. If that happens, then things are getting thrown. So
I think almost anything beyond. So yeah, we've got Ben Johnson number one. I think there's another group with Carroll, Brady, and Monken in it, where I would be sort of hopeful. I will say I would probably do Brady over Monken. Monken has had a head coach job before at Southern Miss, and it just didn't go great. And obviously things have changed since then, but he seems like the kind of guy who might be a very good offensive coordinator who's going to kind of Vic Fangio it as a head coach, and that kind of freaks me out.
The thing I can say about Todd Monken is that I love his scheme. I've loved his scheme. I liked what – I mean, people forget – what he was doing with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston in fucking Tampa Bay when they were averaging like 9 yards per attempt. I liked Todd Monken schematically, but as I was just saying earlier in this episode, like I have wonder if in past years I have really overrated the like, oh, I like this guy's scheme versus the can this guy coach players part of it. And that's obviously a huge, I mean, that's a question mark with Joe Brady, who's, you know, as a guy who hasn't had a head job of his own. But yeah, that's obviously my biggest concern with Todd Monken there too. You need someone who can, obviously it's very annoying when you have the Bears saying that, like, the main thing is finding a leader of men, not because that doesn't matter. I think if anything, the NFL shows, like I said, with Dan Quinn and what he did with Washington this year, you know, and when you have guys like Mike Tomlin continually dragging the Steelers to the playoffs with just awful quarterback play, those guys matter. That element does matter. It's that the Bears always look for that first and foremost and have shown no ability to identify it because that's what they thought they had in Matt Eberflus. And if you thought you had that in Matt Eberflus, who ended up being possibly, I think even worse than Mark Trestman in that department in the end. I don't, if you're telling me that was what you were looking for and this is the guy you hired based off of that criteria, I don't fucking trust you at all. So yeah, it's tough. I don't think I'd be mad about Todd Munkett either. That would be much more of a like, well, we'll see. Part of it too.
Yeah. Munkett feels like, it feels like one of those hires where if he succeeds, you're going to say like, well, obviously he was going to succeed. Did you see all these good things that he did before? And if he fails, you're going to be like, well, obviously he failed. Like he looks exactly like a fucking, like a Mark Trestman kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, Todd,
how did you not see this? How could you not see this a mile away?
Yeah, Todd Munkett definitely feels like the, you know, we got food at home when you ask your mom if you can get the Ben Johnson McDonald's.
Yeah, definitely.
But that, you know,
it's Ben Johnson at home.
But you know, sometimes dinner at home's good. So yeah,
it could work. But yeah, I think once you get beyond that and like. Even with Flores, who is a guy who I do like and whose defense I think is really creative and really fun, that's just not – I'm just not interested in that right now, man. Like, I really – you know, I know we just went through Eberflus, but it's also just that the NFL just isn't built on that kind
of guy. Well, and again, this is a guy
– anymore.
Right. Well, and the number one thing that this hire has to be about is the development of Caleb Williams. And Brian Flores showed himself to be actively hostile – to his own quarterback's development in his last job. Not just didn't prioritize it enough, not just like Lovie Smith where he liked to pretend quarterback, actively hostile, like thought the best way to develop Tua was to raise him in an environment of fear and loathing. You know?
Yeah, I mean that all started to spiral out of control because Fitzmagic was playing so well and the team was behind him and they were winning games when they weren't supposed to be. And then he felt like he was forced to play Tua. And
well, allegedly
they basically bears him. They bears the shit out of him.
They did. So, yeah, I mean, so that's Brian Flores isn't even on my board for that. I would be actively mad if Brian Flores ended up being the hire. For sure.
All so, yeah, right. let's just fucking hope it's Ben Johnson. We can all not argue about it.
I do think if you're Ben Johnson and you are looking objectively, I do think, and this isn't just me being a Bears homer, because believe me, guys, there's no fucking Bears homer left in me at this point right now. This was one of the most dispiriting fucking seasons the Bears have ever had. But I do think, looking objective, I do still think this is arguably the best job opening there is right now. You have Caleb Williams, and I think any offensive coach worth his salt should believe that he can make Caleb Williams be something. You have, what, three picks in the top 40? You have tons of financial resources, a very clean cap situation versus, you know, Jacksonville, where, yeah, the division's a lot easier. Maybe your path to the playoffs is easier if you really believe in yourself, but, I mean, that roster's a mess. The cap situation's a mess. Trevor Lawrence has already been paid, you know, and you just also have to deal with Jacksonville. And then, you know, the other Raiders, that's a hopeless job. You shouldn't even consider that job. The Jets.
I am shocked that he took an interview with the Las Vegas Raiders. I do not, after being so selective over the
last
couple of years,
like a,
why are you talking to that team?
That feels like a raising, that feels like a raising my salary in a head coach interview. But yeah, I mean, one of them, of course, I guess Dallas is maybe intriguing now that that's open, but I don't know. I feel like the Dallas head coaching job is one where you can pretty much only disappoint. And then it sounds like the Jets are busy hiring Matt Nagy to be the next guy to have to get fired by Aaron Rodgers. So, and then, of course, the Saints, not even worth mentioning. So, yeah, I mean, so I think if you're Ben Johnson, you should look at it objectively. The Bears are the job that I, honest to God, not saying that with any Bears bias, it's the job I would take if I were him. But I am also a guy who would take $100 million from Shad Khan. So
yeah.
If he wants to do that anytime, I mean, I will let Travis dox me for that purpose if Mr. Khan wants to mail me a check for $100 million. But yeah, so that's a factor you do have to consider. I do think despite all of the ways in which the Bears have attempted to make it not one, this is still the most attractive job opening in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I would say for sure. I mean, it's in every way except for the money you're probably going to make. Just because right. That's the way George
which
is.
Is not in, to, which is
that's
not
up to Kevin Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is up to Kevin Warren to convince George McCaskey.
I will say if they
you
fuck
have
up
to open up the pocketbooks.
If they if Ryan Poles got to keep his fucking job, and if they fuck up this coaching hire, I never want to, and we still don't have a goddamn stadium. I never want to hear another one of those fucking puff pieces that Kevin Warren has had every goddamn publication in or near Chicago run about how he gets up at 3 a.m. and chews bullets and goes out all day kicking ass as a great advisor. I know you want to be NFL commissioner someday or something, Kevin Warren, but at some fucking point you have to accomplish something, dude. I will be so over the bullshit of what a competent leader Kevin Warren is if they fuck up this head coaching search.
This is why he's here. Like, period. The only reason we are excited about Kevin Warren being here is because the idea is that he can convince George what to do and when to do it when it's the right thing to do, right? And that should be, we have a new stadium coming in. We're going to secure that deal in order to, you know, promote fan interest in this new stadium. We need to have a great head coach. We need to have a good football product. Like, if he can't do that, if we go out there and we decide that fucking Ron Rivera is the guy or something like that, and he actually allows that shit to go through, and somehow Poles is still the fucking GM of this team, there's no confidence in anybody in the organization. So I guess we're just, you know, we're back to exactly what it's always been. Should we just be there already, Kyle? Should we just assume?
I mean, I kind of am. I have honestly, like, I have detached and I have really tried not to be, like, my nose up in this coaching search because I feel like the only information I can obtain will disappoint me. So I am trying to have no expectations.
I mean, you've done a great job of avoiding this stuff. I'm proud of you for avoiding social media. As I am an avid social media avoider,
you are.
But it really, I mean, we're a national embarrassment again. Like, this is the story is, what are the Bears doing? Why are they doing this? This is insane. It's patently stupid that you are having this many people come in and you are giving them different assignments. Like I said, Pete Carroll gave them a presentation. They are giving everybody different little things that they want to hear. What's your plan on, like, this? Like, they gave Ben Johnson, they wanted to hear his plans for, like, leadership, and from everybody else, they wanted, like, schematic plans.
Well, I think to be fair, I think that almost makes a little bit of sense. Like, if you're talking about Ben, if they really want to get this right, and you have any concerns about Ben Johnson, it probably is, like, we have no concerns about what you can do as an offensive coordinator.
Sure.
You've proven that. How do we know you can handle the head coach part of the job? That's a fair interview question. And
well,
I think
if you're interviewing, let me tell you, when I hear that, you know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, we got to do a mock press conference, Ben.
God damn it.
Get behind the podium, Ben.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, that part, and I think the opposite is true. I mean, if you are interviewing, you know, Mike McCarthy or whatever, it's like, look, Mike, we know you're a respected head coach around the NFL. Your win-loss record speaks for itself. But, like, how are you going to keep your scheme cutting edge and up to date to further Caleb Williams' development? That is a fair question. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it gets exhausting, man. As much fucking cynicism as I have, and the defensive layers of sarcasm, at a certain point, man, it's just not fun to take this shit for this shit, or year after year after year, and watch them, and it's watching them make the same fucking mistakes over and over. That's so exhausting. It's not that if they even made different mistakes, it would be worth discussing, but like, the thing that's most upsetting about where we're at right now is that you fucking knew deep down inside that this was where we were going to be the minute they announced last year that they were keeping Matt Eberflus. But even worse than that, it's where you knew they were going to be 3 years after they hired Matt Eberflus in the fucking first place. Because when they announced that Matt Eberflus got the job in 2022, your first two reactions were probably, who? And, oh, fucking hell, they blew it again. They hired the milquetoast gym teacher defensive coordinator, and 3 years from now we're going to do this whole goddamn shit over again.
Oh, we never got to, Kyle, because we didn't get back on the pod to discuss the hilarity of it. We never got to talk about the report that came out after the Bears fired Matt Eberflus, which was that the Colts were set to fire Matt Eberflus as defensive coordinator, but they didn't because he had set up an interview for the Bears job. They basically had communicated, and they had told him, we aren't going to fire you because you might get this job, but if you don't get that job, you're not going to be defensive coordinator for the Colts. So we literally hired a guy who was getting canned. So truly an incredible note to come out of
Eberflus. Well, and they hired him, again, solely because he was a goddamn Rod Marinelli disciple. He sold them entirely. I have never heard of anything sadder than the fact that he got hired because he sold them on a return to a golden age that wasn't even a golden age. He sold them on a return to the Lovie Smith era. That is, I mean, like, that's like trying to sell someone on returning the Batman franchise to like the Val Kilmer era. Like, it's like, all right, I mean, I guess it made money, but like, is that the peak that we're really aiming for? Like, that was your goal? You aimed for Lovie Smith, the era where you were continuously finishing in second place to a team with an actual offense and an actual quarterback? That was the goal?
I wish we weren't so pessimistic and so just in a general malaise about this whole thing right now. But I mean, we've honestly fronted like we're more positive right now than we are, because I think in general, our feeling is like we're going to make the worst possible hire. Right, I don't even have the energy to get upset about it.
Right. I desperately don't want to be a fatalist, because I truly believed that it was coming together, even though I figured Matt Eberflus was going to be an obstacle that would have to be removed at the end of this year. I thought it would be after a 7-win season or an 8-win season where you could still see the building blocks coming together so neatly, and the vibes would feel a lot better than they do. But, you know, when you see, like, oh, man, they really, when it starts to sink in, they're like, oh, they really could fuck up Caleb Williams somehow. They really can. They're not, they have the capability to fucking do this to anyone. And it's hard not to feel the fatalism. It's hard not to go save old Bears, even though I get frustrated with people sometimes because that's lazy and reductive. And, you know, it was the same old Lions until it wasn't. It was the same old Browns until it wasn't, and then it was again. But until you see otherwise, like, goddamn, and the most frustrating thing is that, like, the obvious answer right now is the same obvious answer that was last year. You should have fired Matt Eberflus and hired Ben Johnson last year. Ben Johnson didn't take other jobs because he thought you were going to do.
He thought you were going to hire him last year.
Yeah.
That's what he thought. Well, yeah. And I mean, we're talking about, oh, well, it's just going to be same old Bears, but, you know, maybe we don't have anything to back that up, but we do. We kept our GM. We're letting our fucking lame duck GM pick the next coach. Why are we doing that? Why do we do this every time? Why do we never go out and say head coach and GM, they can come in together. They could be buddies. You know, they can build this as one unit, just get everything together in one package. And instead, here we are. We've retained Poles, even though there's every reason in the world at this point to let him go. He's the one who fucking hired Eberflus. And he's going to pick the next head coach. And then what? Like, are we just going to immediately hear about how those two don't agree? Are they going to go into this draft and disagree on who they're going to draft, like always happens? And then suddenly there's instant animosity, like... Like we go through this cycle constantly. We never sync up these hires. Nothing is ever cohesive within this organization. And because of it, somebody suffers. The quarterback breaks down and never achieves everything that they could. The head coach doesn't like the quarterback, or he doesn't like the players who are coming in, or like God with Emery, we're drafting guys for one system. And then the guy who's running the system is like, that's not what I do. Like, I can't use this guy effectively because that's not the fucking defense I'm running. Like, it's the same, like you said, the same mistakes over and over and over again. It's the same story with this franchise. And it really is just something that starts at the top. The one thing that is unchanging are the people who own this goddamn franchise.
Well, and it all stems from...
They're why it keeps happening again.
Well, and it all stems from the people at the top constantly being stuck in this nostalgia for the past. There is always this answer. They feel like that the answer is somewhere in returning the Bears to whatever it was they think the Bears were the last time the Bears were good. Instead of doing what a bad organization should do and say, like, we're bad. We're terrible. Everything we're doing is wrong. Who is the most successful organization that we can find, and how do we copy everything that they do instead? They're too proud to just admit that they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope we're getting all this pessimism out.
I hope the Lions
get eliminated this weekend, and then we can just boom.
Yeah, I mean, let's end on a high note. Jordan Love looked like ass. Oh man, he did. He sure looked like ass losing the Packers a playoff game. And the Vikings, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't rather be the team that went 14-3 and lost in the playoffs just now. But like at a certain point, as a Vikings fan, like that's got to be getting to a similar kind of pain, right? Because like, if you're a Vikings fan, when do you ever feel safe? Like when? Because your 13th regular season win doesn't do it. Your 14th regular season win doesn't do it. We know from 1998 that your 15th regular season win doesn't do it. Like, I have never seen a franchise with more 12, 13, 14, 15 win seasons that just add up to nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I know you're not a long form YouTube video guy, but the John Boy's Secret Base guys made the history of the Minnesota Vikings into like four or five videos. And that's basically what it is. They're just always good. They never bottom out. They like their entire history, they never turn to shit. They always turn it around. And because of that, they just never get good enough to win the whole damn thing. And they always have some crazy, colossal flame out. With their great teams, and here's another one. Like you get into the playoffs, and you're like, oh shit! Like we're 14-3, and yet we're staring across the field at Matt Stafford, and suddenly we feel like what are we doing? How did he sneak into the playoffs? We can't beat that guy, and they just fucking lose. Like I feel bad for them. Which is crazy to feel bad for a division rival, but like I feel legitimately bad for the Vikings. Like they don't deserve this to keep happening to them. And I'm hoping that the good karma I just put into the world will bounce back on me, and maybe some of them will say that we don't deserve what the Bears put us through, and then maybe we can each agree to move on from our collective trauma and will win the Super Bowl, and the Vikings can bottom out finally, right? That's
yeah. So
that's what I think's gonna happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, anyways, hopefully the next time we're back here, it's discussing a coaching hire that doesn't confirm all of our pessimism. But I think we're ending here because I think we're both very much afraid that that's exactly what we'll be doing. Coming back here in a week, trying to, we're not going to try to talk ourselves into Ron Rivera. We'll just swear for an hour.
No,
just do it.
It won't be. I can tell you this: if it's a really bad hire that happens within the next week, I'm not going to come back here and get really mad about it. We are going to have a fucking riff off about how bad this fucking franchise is, because yeah. I've done that before. I have stood up on a soapbox the second we hired Mark Trestman and broken down it was the stupidest thing we ever did. I stood up when we hired Matt Eberflus and I was like, he's not even a good defensive coordinator, and I can prove it. And then again, like, we hired that fucking guy. Like, we could do this again, but I won't be mad. We're gonna try to have fun with it if that's what happens. If we're not hurt too bad, we'll probably have to give it a couple days. Like, folks, if we go out there and we hire Mike McCarthy or Ron Rivera like tomorrow, I'm gonna need like a week.
Yeah, that's not gonna be a fast that blow. That's not gonna be a fast react pod. So, anyways, if you are still with us after our month layoff, thank you guys. But again, we're never just going to churn content just to churn content. So if the Bears ain't worth talking about, we'll find fucking something else to talk about for all I give a shit. But
yeah, we got to do that full commentary of Batman versus Superman that we're always talking about.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. We'll go through the whole movie.
We'll put that on the podcast. Yeah, great piece of cinematic history.
Just pivot to a pop culture podcast. Absolutely. Well, right. We should get together at some point. We'll have to start deciding what this year's off-season tournament's going to be. Maybe we could do that early instead of diving right into pre-draft stuff this year to try to liven things up around here if we don't like the coaching hire.
We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. We've got the tournaments coming up. We've got all the draft stuff coming up. There's plenty of other stuff that happened in the NFL this season. I definitely, we want to talk about, you had an idea for a whole podcast about how you evaluate quarterbacks, which should be really fun after Jaden Daniels succeeded this season and Bo Nix looked competent.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I want to do that episode anymore. Yeah. No.
There's a lot of
even bringing it up. All right.
There's a lot of things that I feel like I learned that were not Bears related and were not quarterback related this season that I'm interested in talking about. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll have a lot of fun, but there's a bit of an albatross still hanging over this team now.
Yeah, and we'll do for the draft this year. I mean, we'll do a single quarterbacks episode just like we did in 2023. I need to plug in now that the college season's almost over. I need to plug in the numbers into the spreadsheet and see what they tell us about this year's class. So we'll do an episode where we talk about them and what there is interesting to say. But we are not doing a whole month of quarterback episodes like we did last year, obviously, because the Bears don't hold the number one overall pick and won't be looking for a quarterback. Hopefully won't be looking for a quarterback for a long time.
I just started watching Shedeur Sanders games here.
We sure will be looking at some big, beefy offensive linemen. That's for sure.
Fuck yeah, we will. I love meaty men. We're going to talk about meaty men coming up, folks.
Yeah. When all else is dark around here, we need to cheer ourselves up by talking about some meaty men.
Big men slapping man meat. That's going to brighten our day.
That's the one way out of the tunnel. All right. That's right. Good night, folks.
What time are you talking about? Right? See you later. Way out on that bummer's road. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago. And people that show do hate to go.
Now you don't leave it.